The text for our sermon this day comes from our gospel reading from John chapter 9, verses 3 through 5. Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work." Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the joys I had discovering the internet was 5 years after it really became famous. Windows 95 came out and all my friends were going on the computer. I was still an engineer that refused to go on the computer. I still did all my detailing and drafting on the board just because I'm old school. I now know how to use it. But at first, I was intimidated. I was afraid of it. I was in my late 30s, early 40s when it really started to get popular, and I just struggled with it. And then once I got on it, I discovered there were some good things on there. I could now get rid of all my encyclopedias, and I could just go on and click to find out anything I wanted. So this was good. But then through the years, you discovered there's a lot of bad things on the internet. There's a lot of things that take your attention away from your God, from your family, from people you love, because you're so busy on it that you forget that there's a world outside your computer screen. But as I was preparing for this sermon this week, I went on and I typed in, "The blind receive sight," thinking I was going to find a commentary on this reading, because I like to do that after I read the scriptures in four different versions and then go to the Greek. I like to read what other pastors think about these readings. And as I did that, I was shocked to find something that brought great joy to me. It had nothing to do with the scripture verse. And it was a wonderful thing. I was left speechless. And I was filled with joy because what I had come across was a whole bunch of videos of children who had been born blind, maybe not totally blind. Some had blurry vision. Some could see double and triple. Some had big blots that they couldn't see their parents. And a few were almost blind. And as they come up with this new medical scientific way of making glasses for these children, it was done either at home or at the doctor's office. You would watch them put the glasses on this little child. And for the very first time, this child could see the face of their mother and father who loved them and had been taking care of them. And their smile went from ear to ear for almost 2 minutes. And their mouths opened in awe because they were blind. They couldn't see. And now they could see their parents for the very first time. I even found a bunch of videos where adults were colorblind and they were able to find these glasses for them and now they could see color for the first time. And they talk about how this changed their life and how this new way of seeing things just gave them peace and gave them joy. And just watching those children looking at their fingers for the first time and playing with their toes in a different way. And picking up their toy, and I'm wondering, are they thinking, is this what I've been playing with? For the first time, I get to see this with different patterns and different colors. Just how this changed the life of these children. Well, something very similar today happened. We come across in our reading where it says that Jesus and his disciples came across a man who had been completely blind since birth. Not partially blind, not colorblind, not seeing in blurs. This man was totally blind. And as I'm reading this, I'm trying to get a different perspective on it so I can deliver this sermon. And as I'm reading it and praying about it, I'm seeing things that are a little bit different and a little bit more clear for me. Where Jesus opened my eyes a little bit to see what he's doing here. Or what he's not doing here. You know how we always see how when Jesus is walking in town, People are reaching out to him and they're grabbing his cloak. Or they're calling out to Jesus, help me. Or other times Jesus goes into their life. He goes seeking them to find them in order to heal them. Well, that didn't happen at all in this. Neither one of those cases. It was the disciples. It was the disciples that brought this man into Jesus' life when they asked this question. Why is this man blind? Is it because of his sin? Or is it because of the sins of his parents? And that was very prevalent in those days back then. In order for something bad to happen to you, it has to have been because of you being found unfavorable before God. This is what they believed back then. This child was blind only because God found disfavor with him. I would like to remind you, I don't think it was just in those days that we think about cause and effect. Because many people today have the same false belief that the things that happen in our life is because of something you have done, or some certain sin is what caused your troubles in your life. How many of you have ever thought, when you're looking at a friend or a loved one who is going through a hard time, how many of you have ever thought, wow, I wonder what sin they're carrying that I just don't see? I wonder what they have been doing behind closed doors that maybe God isn't quite happy with them. Or maybe you're going through a tough situation and you're thinking, why, God? Why am I going through this? Why am I going through this situation? What have I done? What made you turn your back on me, God, for this to happen? You may not put them in those words, but I would venture to say at some point, we have all thought that. And the problem with that cause and effect is we think that God is pouring out evil because of evil. And our God does not do that. Jesus answered him, it's not because this man sinned or his parents sinned. Now, he didn't say you don't sin. He just said there wasn't a certain sin that caused this man to be blind. So as we're looking at this, this man is now getting his eyes open. He's able to see for the first time. And who is the very first person he gets to see? His Lord and his Savior, the one that loves him and that cares for him. The very person that loves him and cares for him is the first person he sees, just like those little children got to see their parents. He now gets to see his Savior, but he doesn't quite understand who he is. He's just happy he can see. And for you and me, we cling to this first miracle. We say, yeah, this is great. Our all-powerful God heals the blind man. But we miss the second and most important miracle that is happening in the same reading. This man who lived in darkness, not just physical darkness, but he lived in spiritual darkness because he wasn't allowed to go into this temple. He wasn't allowed to go and worship his God. He had been separated from his God. So he knew nothing about who God was. And here Jesus comes to him. And with a little bit of mud and a little bit of spit, he opens the man's eyes. And the man can see. But more importantly, he opens the eyes of faith to this man. Through his words, through his healing, through being God himself. Here we find Jesus being compared by the elite Pharisees as just a man. This man cannot be from God because he heals on the Sabbath. He's a sinner. To the next stage when they asked the man the second time, who is this that done this for you? you're going to see this man grow a little bit in faith. He says, well, he's a prophet. Well, he's getting a little closer because prophets come from God. So his faith is growing a little bit. So as he's telling this to the Pharisees, they kick him out. They throw him to the curb. Those that think they see and know everything about God, toss him out. And Jesus goes looking for him. And he finds this man. This man who didn't even know who Jesus was that morning. And he says, do you know who the Son of Man is? And he says, no, tell me. Who is he so I can worship him? Who is this Son of God, Son of Man? Tell me so I can worship him. And Jesus says, the one you have seen and the one who is talking to you right now is he. This man that knew nothing about God, twice in faith and putting trust in him, stepped out and believed. First, when Jesus told him, go and wash. He didn't say you're going to be able to see. He just said, go and wash. And the man listened, and he put his trust in him. And he went. And his physical sight was given. And Jesus says, I am he. And the man believed. Throughout our life, we struggle. And that's why God comes to you daily in his word. In this world, you look out there and you see all the pain and the suffering and the heartache out there. Maybe you have that same pain and suffering in your households. And you say, well, where are you, God? Where are you in this time of pain and sorrow? Why did you turn your back on me? Well, asking why is the wrong question. Our question as Christians, as disciples of Christ, should be, where am I going to see God in this mess? Where is God going to meet me to bring good for me and glory for him? You guys know that in 1989 I had a house fire. And my wife and 3-year-old son died in that fire. 6 months later, I moved back in the house with a then 6-year-old, and Patrick had just turned a year. And as I'm sitting in the boys' bedroom watching Jerry run around, first night back in the house, you can imagine the memories going through my head. As I'm sitting there rocking 1-year-old Patrick, I'm crying out to God, why did this happen to me? Why? Everything was why, and the problem with the why is it turns it back to you. When it had nothing to do with me. Where is God in all this? The blessing is he opened my eyes. I just didn't want to see it at first. I didn't want to see it with the eyes of faith at first. But my prayer was, I want my wife back. I can't do this, Lord. Give me my wife back. If you truly love me, give me her. And yet, you know where God was in all that? He wasn't in that fire. He was in the calm whisper every single night that I cried out, giving me enough wisdom as a man to take care of 2 boys, to get them through life till they're in their 30s, almost 40 now. He gave me just enough wisdom to know when to put them in a bath, because let's face it, I was still a man. Make sure I fed them 3 meals or 4 meals a day, not just the 1 big one. He gave me just enough wisdom and love to care for them until I got tired, until I got burned out, and then he showed me his sense of humor and brought me Vicky. There he blessed me again. As I got tired, he brought me my wife, who would step in and help me. Help me raise those boys to make sure they put the toilet seat down when they should. You know, let's face it, there's things that I couldn't do because I'm just a man. And when they fell, she was able to kiss them and tell them to get up. There's where you see God in those moments. He wasn't in the destruction and the chaos. He was in those quiet moments, reassuring me, and he reassures you in the moments of your pain and suffering, that he is there with you because he loves you the same way he loves me, the exact same way. Jesus came down from the throne of heaven to show the love of God, to open your eyes of faith, to believe in him, to put your trust in him, to know that he is your God. And as your God, he keeps every promise he ever gave to you. I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you. And he's working everything out good for those who love him. He tells us that in Romans 8. He is not a vengeful God. He is a loving God who came to this earth to open your eyes and your ears to hear and believe. For this man we just heard about, it was with simple spit and mud. For you, for most of you, it was through the waters of your baptism and the power of God's word connected to it, keeping his promise to wash your sins away. Today, simple elements, bread and wine. Jesus, the power of God, is connected to those in with and under them to give you the forgiveness of sins, to remind you that he loves you. And the pain and the hurt you're going through, he's there for you. When he says, I'll never leave you or forsake you, that's not just during the good times. That's in all times. That's his promise to you. This day for this man, his world changed. At some point in your life, your eternal life changed as well when Jesus introduced himself to you. And somewhere out there in that world today, someone is going to hear the same message that Jesus died on the cross and was raised from the dead, and they're going to come to faith. And God's going to open their eyes and their ears of faith. This is the God that we come here and worship. This is the God who loves you. There is no cause and effect with God. There's only effect. The effect that you feel as he embraces you and carries you through the valley of shadow of death that you walk through and your joyful times. But just remember, in those joyful times, it's him carrying you too, not just you. To God be the glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. And now may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus your Lord until he returns to bring you home with him. Amen.